Hello and welcome back to the Lutheads podcast in association with Talking Rugby Union. This is a two-part special with Benjamin Cater. I hope you enjoyed part one, where Benjamin talked about his playing career and went into great depth about mental health in rugby and really was positive about the work which Lutheads do. So it was great to hear Benjamin discuss that. In part two, we'll be discussing the rise of French rugby ahead of the autumn Nations Cup final this weekend, and he will also be doing his Mars 15. So I hope you enjoyed the first part. Here comes the second part of our special Lutheads podcast in association with Talking Rugby Union with Benjamin Cater.
You're listening to the Lutheads podcast. Join the movement.
Let's get people talking about mental health.
And together we will tackle the stigma. This is the Lutheads podcast.
Of course, Benjamin, now you're back in England, if that's right in saying. Rob mentioned that you were at Tunbridge Wells, obviously the Oxford University and stuff there. And just behind you, I've noticed sort of your French shirt against Australia. Is that your first cap that still needs to be hung on the wall?
Yeah, that's my first cap. So we moved to Tunbridge. My wife, I met when I was in Leicester, and we did 11 years together in France. It was always the back of her head to come back at some point. And we got two little girls that we wanted to put in English schools to that. To come back also, we're 40 minutes away from her parents, and with the Eurostar, we can be like an hour 45 from mine. And so that's, and with Oxford, I just thought, listen, let's base ourselves in Kent, good schools, Eurostar, London, Paris, parents, in-laws, you know, so it sort of fitted pretty well. I don't know how long we'll stay here for, but for the first transition period of my life, we thought it would be good. And but we're transforming house. It's been challenging on the mental side, to say the least. It's been challenging on the Mrs. mental health, to say the least. But we're getting there. And yes, this hasn't been hung yet. But that was my first cap in Australia. It was so it's my cap, the Australian jersey, my jersey. That was one of my Christmas gifts a couple of years ago.
Brilliant. And I guess as well, with all of this going on, you must still be enjoying the punditry and the co-commentary, Benjamin. We've heard you doing Amazon Prime coverage. I know you've done a bit around the Champions Cup last year as well for BT Sports. So is that on top of everything that you've got going on with your businesses and, like you said there, your stuff with Oxford, a nice sort of bonus? So you're keeping your hand in rugby in that sort of way?
Like I always said that I wouldn't coach, but I ended up helping Tunbridge Wells rugby club because I like it. I always said I stay away from rugby, post rugby, and then I retired the 16th of June 2019, and I think the 30th of June I accepted to do commentary for the World Cup in Japan. They're like, "Oh, do you want to go do commentary in the world in Japan?" I was like, "Yeah, of course. I want to go to the World Cup. I want to experience those things, and I really enjoy it." It's another way for me to basically to keep on living within rugby. And I love stadiums, right? I'm a stadium fanatic. What I love about rugby is competition. I love a stadium atmosphere. I love the crowd. I love the buzz. The ooh, ah, you know, that's what I love. And so even though in commentary you don't hit anyone, you still get this a little bit in your heart. So so I enjoy that. But it's like we said with Rob a couple of minutes ago. It's my sort of shark attitude. I say yes to everything at the moment. So I'm piling on and more things every day. And this week, another couple of things, the projects that I say yes to because I'm very curious and I want to do multiple things. One of the reasons why I'm going to have to reflect is I'm going to have to prioritize, chill out a little bit and finish my things. But yeah, a lot of commentary, a lot of podcasts, radio, Oxford, plus more than one entrepreneur projects.
Yeah, you mentioned kind of helping Tunbridge Wells out as well, Benjamin. Rob mentioned it yesterday. I thought it was a really good point to kind of raise. You might have seen sort of the laws that have been introduced or the adaptations that have been introduced to the grassroots game here at the moment, which basically makes front row players redundant, if you like, going into the new season. I mean, how worrying is that for front row players? Because they're such an important part of the game, aren't they?
I wouldn't be worried, honestly, because, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think they're stupid enough to kill the game from inside. You kill scrums, you kill the game. The exact idea why rugby is has got so many values, can learn you, teach you, sorry, so much about yourself, about others, about human connections in general, is because in the definition of the rules of rugby, I need different people around me. I am nothing without different people around me. I am a strong fella, but I need the lanky, fast one, and I need the small, really, really pissed off number nine, and I need, you know, the brainsy number 10, and I need the crazy ass fast winger because he's scared for his life that can win very, very fast. You need a bit of everything. And the best teams are the most diverse, and that's a good lesson for the reality of our society. And that's why rugby is so good and so inclusive. Diversity is our strength. And the day that they decide to kill scrum, well, mate, if you have number 1, 2, 3 that can run like Tom Curry and Sam Underhill, I'm telling you, there's going to be even less space, and rugby is going to be even more boring, and rugby's dead. So the day we decide not to do this, the reason why we all like rugby is for the space, the pace, the skill. If you want to stay 15 guys on the pitch, you should never, ever, ever, ever touch the scrum. So I'm not worried. I think it's just an adaptation because they have to. You said it's to finish the season, but the season is pretty much canned. It's just to allow friendly sort of competition in rugby to come back in January, which is great because the guys in Tomajos, they play rugby because they love it, not because it's their passion, their work. So they just want to have a, you know, enjoy. So any type of rugby will be fantastic for them. I'm not worried about foreigners just because I don't think they're that stupid. No.
Yeah, and I think we've seen sort of the benefits of the forwards, especially on the international scene over the Autumn Nations Cup. You mentioned Underhill and Curry, who have been playing extremely well for England, but France as well have seemed to have turned a corner. Benjamin, since the World Cup last year, they were excellent in the Six Nations and have been really strong so far in the Autumn Nations Cup. I mean, how impressive have you been since sort of that quarterfinal defeat to Wales in the World Cup?
No, I'm not only am I impressed, but I'm relieved, happy, very positive about the future. So again, that's another podcast, but we can talk about my podcast, the French Rugby Pod. We address this every single day. France is sitting on a dodgy base, which is the strategic and legal structure of France. Well, not legal, but power dominance of the structure of France is unbalanced. The war between the Federation and the league is killing, well, is causing major damage and issues to sport, to French rugby. And in the consequence of that is the poor results or the underperforming of French rugby for the last 10 years. And now it's a mix of an incredible generation of under 20s double World Cup winners who are just incredibly good. We always said, we don't have a 10. Who's our Johnny Wilkinson? Now we've got three amazing number 10s that are under 23. So that's a sign of, you know, of extraordinary depth. Then for once, finally, we decide to add value on value in the coaching staff. And it's the first time that you finally go, listen, who are the best in France, or if not in France, in the world? Fabien Galthié, you like him or not, he's a strategic genius. Raphaël Ibanez, you like him or not, he's got the class and the aura and the charisma of a very, very big sort of French team manager. As a comparison, the former manager did not even speak English. So, you know, when you try to speak to World Rugby and to go and speak with the Kiwis, it's a bit complicated. The forwards coach, William Servat, is one of the best forwards coach in France. The backs coach, Laurent Labitte, was one of the best. The defense coach is Sean Edwards, is probably the best defense coach in the world. So, of course, all that quality pile, it makes a huge difference. They went to get a line-out coach who was in the best team, Lyon. They went to get a fantastic conditioner who did NFL stuff. So, basically, they piled that experience and knowledge and skill to apply to a fantastic generation with finally the league and the federation sort of working together a little bit more than normal, or at least being, you know, taking one step towards it, because the World Cup 2023 in France is around the corner, and they desperately need to work together. So it's a mix of all those things, and that's why I'm so happy with them. I think the captaincy of Charles Olivon has been very good because he had a lot of pressure on his shoulders. Whew. And I wasn't sure about that choice. And not only did his team deliver, but I think he delivered individually, which is very hard, and fair play to him. So the future is bright. The future is exciting if this Federation League thing sticks together. Because look, I was super happy. Then the pandemic hit. Then the finances are like this. And in October, the leagues threatened not even to release the players. So we're still in the shits. But we have an incredible generation who's very well coached. And everybody shoots together. The only sky is the limit for 2023.
You mentioned sort of the coaching staff there, Benjamin, and I put it in the running order that Sean Edwards is the patron of the Looseheads Foundation, and okay. We did a podcast with him a few months ago, and he was brilliant on mental health and French rugby, but he just seems like a very, very strong character that the French rugby team had as well.
Yeah, no, so I don't know him personally. But all I hear from him is that he's got a crazy personality and that he's obviously extremely good at what he does. But I think it's, so everybody's like, well, how come they didn't, the international coaches, whatever, in general, in history of French rugby, never seem to deliver that much? It's also the way that you do things. If you're too big for your boots and you rock up, if you're Eddie Jones and you come to France and you don't speak a word of French and you take a translator, and decide to say, I know better than everyone, I'm going to show you, do this, do that, do this, do that. Don't buy into the culture. We will eat you up and shuck you out of there as soon as, you know, as soon as we can. That's France. The players will not buy into it. They will clash. They will tell you straight in your face, and you will go. And it will be a disaster. What Sean Edwards has done very well is that, I think, from the day one, he moved to France. I would have not blamed him if he kept on living in London. You know, it's possible, or wherever he lives. It's possible. He moved to France. His whole family, he's trying to learn French. He bought in really well in the culture that the coaching staff are trying to put together, and they spend a lot of time together. And what I get from the players is that he's incredibly passionate, and passion doesn't need a language, right? Doesn't have any language barriers. He will make you feel what he wants you to do. And he's kind and he's respectful because he stays things straight in your face, which is very important for us French. And we're all about passion. So if he's passionate and he's ready to give a lot, then I'm not surprised why the chemistry is extraordinary. And on top of that, I didn't know that he was, which is a patron, I think you said, of Looseheads, which is fantastic, only adds to his personal and human values. So that's great to hear.
Yeah, Mark, obviously you know Sean on the personal level, which is why he's got involved in Looseheads. So great to hear Benjamin talk so fondly and so sort of passionately about Sean.
Yeah, oh, crikey, yeah. He's somebody I grew up with in the northwest of England, and we played a little bit of rugby together. Our careers then diverged a little. But on the pitch, he was a born winner. And when we started Looseheads, we knew we needed somebody as a figurehead of the foundation of the charitable work we do. And it was a very quick 10-minute conversation with Sean. And he listened to what I said, and he said, I get it, I'm in, what do you need? And that is a rugby value extraordinaire. You know, there's never an easy conversation with Sean. It's always got to have an objective and an outcome, but that's the way he is. And I think, furthermore, England's loss, and they've had a couple of opportunities to embrace Sean Edwards' skills. England's loss was Wales' gain. Definitely now it's France's gain.
He seems to be sort of part of this, as you said, the next generation, if you like, Benjamin. I don't think it's just the players that sort of relates to it. It's the coaching staff as well. And just on to the players, you sort of mentioned the depth that you have at fly half now with Entomac and a couple of others behind him. DuPont seems to be one of the poster boys of French rugby, and you've got Olivon leading the men into battle as well. And even last weekend in that game against Italy, I know there was a lot of changes, but you just saw that strength and depth that France have, which must be so exciting, because these players like Cameron Wokey, etc., they're just starting to get unearthed, aren't they?
Yeah, it's. I think what Fabien Galthié did really well is to finally, to change from any other manager of the French rugby team for the last 20 years or forever, really, is to stick to the same starting 15 for a while. And there was always a joke of saying the number of halfbacks combination that basically French rugby could finally produce. Now they stuck to Dupont and Tamac, and they just got better and better and better. Dupont is a freak of nature. He is extremely strong, robust, aggressive. He's just special, X factor. Romain Tamac obviously has got a huge amount of skill and stuff, but as a 10, it's tough to perform. You know, you need to learn the strategy and adapt to international rugby. And I just think every day or every week he's getting better. And his game, his final game of Six Nations in October against Ireland was extraordinary. And he really delivered a solid performance that can make him stand toe-to-toe with any other 10 in the world at the moment, which was great to see. Now, where I agree with you is that we need some depth. if the idea is not just to go to 2023 and get qualified for the quarters and see what we do, if the idea is really to say that we want to target and go for glory, you need some depth. And I've never questioned the depth in French rugby, but they just need to give him a shot. I've spoken to many, many All Blacks, like Ice Toyava, who's a good mate of mine, who finished in Clermont and stuff, who's now in Toulon. And he's like, I'm always blown away by the amount of French talent that you guys have got. It's like, you have so many good players everywhere, but why don't they play? Either they're poorly coached, some of them are not very motivated, and they also play in a top 14 that is very, very physical, very aggressive, with a lot of stress, very tough, but it's not particularly fast. It's not particularly adapted to international rugby. So Champions Cup is fantastic, but imagine an extraordinary 20-year-old who plays Champions Cup all the time and never gets picked for the French team. He never gets to actually properly see if he can take the next step. Now there's 30 guys who will be able at least to be assessed, or for them to learn to see what is the next step. There's a lot of other guys. You mentioned Cameron Voki, yes, but Anthony Gelonche is fantastic. Sekou Makalou, if he decides to finally get his head around international rugby, he can be absolutely breathtaking. He's got everything that you need. He's the fastest loose forward, or the fastest forward of world rugby in general. So there's plenty of other guys that you haven't seen that you will see. Teddy Thomas is still at 50% of his ability. Brice Dulin can come back to be extraordinary. There's another fullback from Toulon that was meant to be picked, but he got injured. Gevrey Cordin, who can be electrically good. There's plenty of the guys. Jalibert still is at 50% of his potential in international rugby. So there's a lot of exciting guys. There's the ginger second row, Guerassi. He is the French Alwyn Jones. He's smart. He's a workhorse. He's made for international rugby. So there's a lot of guys to look out for, to discover, and that's what those games are there for.
Hi guys, I'm Amber Reid, and I'm a Loose Heads ambassador, and you're listening to the Loose Heads podcast. Remember that mental health is a journey, not a destination.
That depth you talk about, Benjamin's going to obviously go towards that target and the bigger picture of winning the World Cup. And while looking at the World Cup being the biggest trophy in sport, the biggest game in rugby could be on Mars and the Mars 15, which is taking a lot of traction at the moment, during Series 2 especially. So for this section of the podcast, Benjamin, Mark, introduce it beautifully. So I'll hand you over to Mark.
Brilliant. Just going back on that France thing, I read recently that I don't think it is the case, but it could be argued the case that players get bigger and fitter, and almost 15 players cancel 15 players out, and you end up with that game of rugby we see on Sale, Newcastle, where there's 400 kicks and everybody falls asleep. However, the argument that was made in the article I read was about, therefore, it's the quality of coaching that can be the difference. Exactly what Benjamin talked about the guys who are heading up the coaching setup at France now. Anybody, New Zealand, England, Wales, should be quaking in their boots, because if France can score a try from the other end of the world as they have, and probably my top favourite five tries of ever have been scored by French teams playing the way France can play. So it segues quite nicely into, as Chris said, the greatest bar chat ever about Mars have landed. They quite fancy Earth. They haven't realised there's a coronavirus. They quite like the mountains and the running streams. And they've challenged us to a game of rugby to decide who owns Earth and therefore who owns civilization. We've lost the toss. So we've got a month on a shuttle to get to Mars to play in the rarefied atmosphere up there. So any era, any gender. I wanted to change the rules a little. My colleague suggested not. I wanted Benjamin to pick a team of 15 hookers. But this is Benjamin Kayser's Mars 15. Take it away.
I like the idea, I have to say, because it really fits nicely into the way that I see a rugby team. When you mention that it takes you a month to get there. So we're not talking about talent. We're talking about good boys that you can live with, have a laugh with. And like I said, diversity is our wealth, right? So I tried to take this in consideration. And so I will start lucid. I will start with the Argentinian doctor, Rodrigo Roncero, who was a lucid with me in Stade Français. He's a qualified doctor. Well, if you ever have a problem, do not go and see him, because he is crazy. He is an extraordinary scrummager with a big set of cojones, like they say in Spanish, who, a bit like Domi, who's afraid of nothing, no one, never, really good friend of mine, extraordinary character, and exactly what I like in rugby. The crazy, crazy guy on the pitch, who's actually brilliantly smart off the pitch. You know, he's got a lot more to offer. So I will go with Rodrigo Ancero, who was extraordinary, 2007 World Cup. Just an incredible character. You know, one of those guys you only... It's basically the Argentinian Joe Marlow of now, but I played with him. I love him, and he's a top dude. Hooker, if I can't pick myself, obviously, because I love myself, I will go for a guy who's got... who is genuinely super nice, is Kevin Mealamu. So 100 caps for the All Blacks. I was lucky enough to play the All Blacks four times in a row in 2013. We tore them three times in June, and then we got them in November, the first test. So I played against them a lot of times. And the All Blacks have got this thing where they only have one jersey. In France, in England, we have two. So they never really want to swap. But they, I think, maybe it's just me because I was paranoid, but I always thought, bloody hell, they're making a point of not changing. You know, they're like, well, keep your jersey. I love my jerseys. I love the French jerseys. I cherish them. You know, but they were like, they're so good. They beat everybody all the time. They never come in your change room. You always go in theirs. You know, it's a bit, they're royalty. They're royalty in rugby because they're so good. It's deserved. And when you walk in, I remember you walk into the Kiwi change room. At one point, I turned around and I left because you almost felt like you wanted an autograph. You know, I felt like it was a 16-year-old ball boy who was there to get an autograph. And in 2013, I walked into a changing room and I was about to turn around to leave. And Kevin Mealamu, stood up, came to see me, grabbed me, sat down. He doesn't drink. He went to get he hush-hushed somebody who went to get four beers, whatever, put them next to me. And there was somebody with music next to us, Julian Stave, I think, was dancing and doing whatever. And he told him something who meant fuck off. And basically, we stood there for half an hour. He was absolutely lovely, very down to earth, super kind. And I learned after that he is a legend in New Zealand. He is kind. He's always that guy who's... He's Mr. Perfect, basically. He's kind. He's got a lot of heart, and he's extraordinary. And I believe that he might even go into politics in Auckland. Last time I saw him in Japan, he was like, he got elected, pushed to be mayor of where he is or whatever, but just a legend. Tighted, I will go for my former Clermont partner, Dato Zirakashvili, the Georgian Tighted, an absolute rock. He looked 35 when he was 20. But he still looked 35 when he was 36 or 7 when he finished. He is a machine of a scrummager. But he is one of the most interesting, like I said to you, I like interesting characters. He's one of the most interesting characters I met in my whole rugby career. He's the only guy, he is a history fanatic. He's the only tight end Georgian prop. Imagine with that beard and that ear that still like drips blood from after a game, who then will talk to you about, you know, the move of the Jewish populations through the Second World War. We then will talk to you about the fall of the Russian wall of extra, you know, for USSR and all that. And I'm looking at it, like, who is this dude? You know, he is extraordinary. He can talk for days. And he is a radio. He's a podcast. You just switch him on and he goes. And he's fascinating to listen to and a genuinely very, very good character. So him and we went through some tough battles and always stuck together. And I really appreciate him. So to fight the invaders, definitely Dato. Second row, I actually thought about it like this, completely different. It's got nothing to do with talent, but I will go with Richard Blaise, who was Leicester Tigers second row when I was there. For one reason is that when I got to Leicester, after 1 month, I lost my driving license, bad, because of drink driving, because we were drinking beers on the bus after a big win in Gloucester, and we all got back. And I should have not driven, obviously. But I was the only one to live in the center. I in turn left, everybody turned, went straight, and everybody's blowing their horns, you know, making a massive amount of noise. And I turned and the police was just there. I got caught for 0.47, and in England, 0.40. A year of my license was gone. Thank you, England, for the warm welcome. But Richard Blaise was then my taxi driver for the whole rest of the year. Every single morning, he kept to pick me up, and he drove me back, and a really tight bond was created thanks to this thing. And he still to this day is a good mate of mine. So if you need a good drive, you need reliable people, he's reliable. Then second row partner, completely different. Mike James, the former Canada second row, and my mate of Stade Français. Because he was the guy, whenever there was snow or mud or whatever, he was 35, and he would find the first puddle of mud. You know, you walk into the training ground, you don't read, it's a bit cold, and you don't. And he was 35, never a jacket, always shorts and jersey, that's it. And he would find the puddle of mud or something, and he would just jump in it. He would slide and jump in it, woohoo! And basically, if he's 35, he does that. He's like, come on, you whatever, you pussies, and just jump in there. So if he could do it, I could do it. And I always love his attitude. He was just a brilliant guy of leading by example, not with words. Really, really good guy. Who have I got here? Oh, yeah. Okay, so back row, I've got Alex Lapendry, number four, at six, who actually dated my sister-in-law for 10 years. So he's almost family. Because I think you got to trust blood, you know. So I went to the ins and outs of the world with him. And I played 10 years with him. And he's really, really good guy that I always trust. Because it's a matter of trust, basically, more than that. He's obviously very, very good. But trust is more important than ability. So I would definitely put him in there. At number six, I would put Serge Bitsen, who is one of the most extraordinary encounters that I've had post rugby. I didn't play with him in the French team, and he left for Wasp when I was starting to play. So we never really sort of crossed each other's paths. And for the last year, I have a few times, and including the Auto Nations Cup, and we had some very, very deep conversations about the passing of Dominici and all that. And he's just an extraordinary human being, dedicated, charismatic. He's got a charity in Cameroon where he takes care of 354 kids. And things that I never knew. He never said to anyone, and I was just blown away by his big heart and by who he was. So I'll definitely chuck him in there. No, I forgot number eight actually. Number eight, I would put Chris Massoi, because you need a crazy guy in there, and he's a crazy guy with a big heart, and he's a hell of a player. And I really connected with him. A really, really funny guy nice guy, genuine. Everybody's got their flaws, but he's got a great heart. And he's a really, really nice, down-to-earth, lovely dude. So I'll chuck him in there. Scrum halves, I have to put two because otherwise they'll kill me. So I'll put Morgan Parra, who's the biggest character you could ever see. Dark cloud above his head, but I would trust him to the moon. Obviously, and his incredible ability. And I will put Julien Dupuis, who is extremely similar to him, but we had a very tight bond. When we got to Leicester, he lived with me for a while when I was just starting to date my future wife. So he's a very close friend of us. You know, he sort of saw us at our beginning and all that, and he's just super talented. But it's just a personality that I love. And when you want to go on a boys trip, because this is a boys trip, right? We're going to Mars to kick some Martian ass, but it's a boys trip. Them two, definitely. They're very moody. Ooh la la. Very, very moody, but very good. Then at 10, I will go with Juan Hernandez, just because you need a good 10, because otherwise we're going to get stuffed. And he, in 2007, he was by a mile the best player I've ever seen in my life. Lovely guy. Very, very humble, very dedicated, but just he could do everything. He could tackle Alessandra Tuilagi, he could kick, he could pass, he could run. On top of that, very good looking guy who had style and had all the chicks behind him, but never even looked at them. And he's just Johnny Wilkinson, Argentinian, but I played with him for a long time. He gave me a title in 2007, so I thought I'd put him in there. On the wings, I'll go Jonah Lomu, because he's as big as it gets. And I heard actually from having a few mates for the ABs, I'm hearing more and more stories of how much of a legendary dude he was. Like I heard Manonu, remember to tell that story that he didn't have a car. And then one day he texts Manonu, he's like, listen, you can need to drop me at the airport. Oh yeah, just keep the car for a day or two, I'll be back. And he never took it back, and he gave it to him for a year. So it was his way of, you know, giving him a car for free without saying anything, because these islanders, they're very, very respectful and humble. They don't really like opening up and stuff. I've heard millions of stories. Ice Toyava told me he was just a legend and really, really kind dude. So I put him in there. And then obviously his counterpart, Christophe Dominici, the biggest heart I've ever seen. The Flame, incredible in the bus, incredible in a team environment. And bloody hell, he would get that team fired up massively because he was extraordinary. In the centers, again, you need a freak of nature. And I put Semi Radradra because playing for the English Babas in 2016, him and Josh Tuisova, no, in 2018, him and Joshua Tuisova bullied England on their own. And I was a hooker there. I started best week of my life. I adored the Barbarians. It was extraordinary. Again, another podcast. You can talk for days about it. And it was one of the first times that I was almost a spectator. I wanted to clap them. Like, they were so good. They did everything on their own. I just chucked a few line outs. That's about it. Did a few tackles. Semi Radradra is a freak and he can do anything. And then his counterpart, I will put Philippe Sella, who is extraordinary. He's the only old guy that could have been playing now. And he is the most humble dude you have ever met. I've met so many old fellas that will be like, oh, in my days, this and that. He is genuinely super nice, kind, giving. He was the manager of the under-20s. And all the boys said he was extraordinary. And I've met him a few times. He's super humble. Just a top dude and a legendary player. At the time, he's extraordinary, I'm sure, with maybe like one conditioning session extra here at this time. He would have still killed it in 2020. And then fullback, we topped it off with Ice Toyava. So really good mate of mine. One of the most gifted players I've ever seen. Magic, they call him. Second youngest All Black of history after John Alomu. Went straight from NPC, so sort of club rugby, to the All Blacks. And a genuinely super good dude. Can play any position, and he loves his red wine, and so do I. So I would sit next to him. He would be my roomie. There you go. I needed a roomie. He'll be my roomie.
Just before you select your back room staff, probably every single one of those guys could be captain. But who would you select as captain?
Wow, I didn't think about that. If Dominicin's in that team, there's no chance anybody's touching the captaincy apart from Morgan. Morgan could have challenged him, but out of respect for the ancients, I think he would have let him, but by a mile, dummy.
Fair play.
And then what back room? So I need a coach, a kit man, what else?
A water boy and a manager.
I didn't think about that, to be fair. a water boy, I'll get Elvis Vermeulen. You guys probably don't know him, but he's a number 8 who's got like 20 camps for France, and it was in Clermont. And he's one of those. I'll take Waterboy because he's just there for the life of the changing room. And he's just one of the funniest dudes you've ever met. He's got a lift, you know, he's got a sort of a thing on his tongue. So when he speaks, he's quite funny. But on top of that, he's just absolutely hilarious. He non-stop talks, but makes little silly mistakes when he talks. And he's just a genuinely super guy, a good guy to have around a team and very kind. So I'll put Elvis Vermeulen as Waterboy. I need a coach. Is that what
coach?
It is?
Coach?
Coach, completely different. Not somebody that I've experienced, because otherwise it would be too harsh to pick. I'll tell you what. No. I will. Somebody I experienced that I was very impressed with, Pat Lam. So during the British, the English Babas, I was blown away by Pat Lam. I thought I understand why Bristol are doing well. He really made me fall in love, or the Babas in general, but he made me fall in love with rugby again by the fact that he's super chilled, but very dedicated. And it's community, human. And then we start talking about rugby. And he was very, very good. So the manager will be like the president. It will be Max Guazzini. Yeah. Let's say he can do it. Because Max Guazzini is the forward thinker, genuinely nice person who would do anything for anyone, and I owe him a lot, and we've got a tight bond, and it still hurts me to see how he left Stad, where he gave everything, and to save Stad from going bankrupt, he gave all his ownership of the club for 1 euro. He left away with 1 euro, but the guys who bought the club took on the debt, you know. So he sacrificed himself for the club. That was the ultimate sacrifice, when he gave so much to rugby in general, but also to Stade Français. So definitely Max. And a kit man. Kit man is always a funny guy, so I'll try to think outside the box, not go to rugby at all. Go on, Kitman. Kitman will be Barack Obama because I just think he's slick as, and I like his way of speaking. And he could have some. The Kitmans always, they have crazy stories, don't they? They always sit there. Well, he needs to start smoking, Barack Obama, though, because my Kitman needs to smoke. I will impose that on him, but I will take Barack Obama.
Interesting that you picked Pat Lamb there as well. I've got the privilege of, I work at Bristol Sports, so I work alongside Bristol Bears, and you know, been, you know, in the training ground around the team and him, and you know, once he starts talking, people just stop what they're doing and just listen to him completely.
And he doesn't scream. He doesn't scream, does he?
One question I did want to ask, because we're all Sale fans. You know, it's where we're all from. So
why? Why? What happened to you?
From. It's Birth where we're right. all from. Birth That's right. the only reason. The one thing that we'd quite like to know is how good value is Sebastian Chabal on the piss.
I tell you what, he's very good value, but he's off the charts, right? There's no two guys like him in the history of this sport, maybe apart from Jonalomo. I'm not even talking about the rugby player, just his status. He's been making millions for the last 10 years of commercial revenue thanks to a look, his way, his ability on the pitch and this and that. But he's never forgotten every single time that he can to try to give back and to include as many mates as he could. So whenever I was with the French team, you would get some freebies, and it was him. He never said anything, but he would just, you know, you want me as a company? Well, you send the boys free stash. You want me? He would, Lionel Nallet, his partner in the second row, he's got them into 10 different businesses. So he's always trying to include as much as he can. He's not greedy, me. Whenever you ask him for something, he will always open his big, massive arms. And on top, and I only went once on the piss with him, but he was pretty intense.
Pretty intense. Brilliant.
Too intense to take to Mars, though.
You gotta have a bit of, yeah, right, mate. The bus is full. What do you want me to say? There's some quality everywhere. But he could try to come as the mascot. He'd be the mascot.
Mascot, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, Benjamin, it's been fantastic to chat to you, and just hearing what you spoke about, Sebastian Chabal, there, about embracing everyone and bringing that togetherness together is pretty much why we do this podcast, to bring people together to talk about rugby, but as we quite rightly mentioned at the start, to talk about mental health awareness. And it was a brilliant tribute you paid to the Looseheads guys as well at the start. So I really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us on the podcast this afternoon.
I loved it. Anytime. Go well, take care of each other, and let's, like I said, let's get to phase two. I can't wait to see what can we deliver for rugby, but also just for men and women, but just people in general.
Definitely. And many thanks to Dave, to Rob and to Mark, and obviously the work the Looseheads guys are doing continues. So many thanks to those three as always.
Cheers. Thank you.
And that's been another Looseheads podcast in association with Talking Rugby Union.
You're listening to the Looseheads podcast. Join the movement.
Let's get people talking about mental health.
And together we will tackle the stigma. This is the Looseheads podcast.